The battle is the Lord's. You see, the battle is the Lord's. Therefore, we can win every battle. And if I say that, I'm going to read the scripture that says that. But if we only, listen, if we only use human wisdom, ability, and skill, we may lose the battle. God will always fight for us and help us win if we trust in His Word. And we say, well, trust Jesus. Well, if you trust Jesus, you got to trust what He says. It's not just enough to say, I have my trust in Jesus. What does He say? We need to trust every word. And He is the author of every word from Genesis to Revelation because He has been the Son of God as long as God has been God. And the Scriptures inspired by God, and He's God, so He helped inspire all these Scriptures from Genesis to Revelations. God will always fight for us and help us win if we trust in His Word. Acts chapter 14, verse 13. Now, Pharaoh has the Israelites trapped down by the Red Sea. There's no place for them to go. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you've seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." The Israelites are trapped down by the Red Sea. There's a row of mountains that comes down, and so they're in that V-shaped trap, and there's no place to go. These are slaves just set free from slavery. They're not a trained fighting force. They are set for certain death. And they start crying out. And here's what Moses says. "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." And they look, and here comes Pharaoh's army with his chariots, iron chariots, with swords and spears and bows and arrows. And they're saying, well, we see them now. And that may be right where you are. You feel like you're under attack and there's no way to win. Your job is in jeopardy. Your family has big issues. Your neighborhood has issues. Everything around you seems to be a giant that's out to get you. And God says, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. He has spoken to that to me several times. Stand ye still and see what I will do for you. Verse 14, "The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace." There's anyone here in this room that believe the Bible? You folks watching by live stream, listening by radio, do you believe the Bible? This says the Lord will fight for His people. You see, these are His people. Today, we're His people. We're under a new covenant, but we are His people, and all the promises for His people apply to us today. The Lord will fight for you. You shall hold your peace. They were moments away from certain slaughter. There was no way they could withstand an attack from Pharaoh's army. They were no match. They were just slaves. They had no training in battle. Verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." No matter what happens, we need to find a way to move forward. Never give up and never go backwards. If you have a word from God, you feel like you're doing the job that God has given you. You're doing the career the Lord's called you to. If you are in the will of God, the best you know, then the Lord will fight for you. I guarantee you. I've been around a long time, and I've never had many advantages, but God has always made advantages for me. And He'll make them for you. No matter what happens, find a way to move forward. Don't give up. Verse 16, "But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." Well, that must have been very hard for Moses to believe and for the people to believe, because no one had ever seen anything like that before. And you say, well, do you believe that Red Sea really divided? If you have experienced the miracle power of God, it's easy for you to believe the miracles in this book. I have no problem believing the miracles in this book because of all the great miracles that God has worked for me. And He'll work these miracles for all of us if we will believe him. Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. The Lord showed Moses something he had to do, and he did it. Very often God will speak something in your heart that you need to do. Might be go back to college. It might be go back to school. Might be to take some special courses in the field that you want to go into. You may have some medical issues. I believe in healing. I've already told you that. But he might send you to a doctor that can help you. And you say, amen. My doctor over the years has really helped me many times. I believe in healing. I've been healed of everything dozens and dozens of times. And many times the devil's tried to make me sick so I couldn't preach. I get healed and come and preach. So I believe in that. But sometimes God will take you to a doctor, to a professional. Pray and obey God. Don't worry about what anybody thinks. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And it doesn't matter who all has sided against you. If God be for you, they don't even count. They don't count. Read it again. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You see, if God is for me, Pharaoh does not have a chance. God will fight for us, whether the battle is mental, spiritual, physical, social, or financial. Sometimes it's mental issues, depression, oppression, fear, doubt, all kind of things going on in your head. You're thinking, man, I got something bad wrong here. Well, God can fix that. Spiritual, you may feel like you're 100 miles away from God. I'm believing today that God's going to touch you, and you're going to know that God is real, and he's real in your life and real for you. Physically, some people are depressed over the physical condition. The Lord wants to help you with your physical condition. Listen, God called me to preach. Do you believe that he wants to make me sick so I can't preach? God has given you a job or a career. Do you think God wants you sick so you can't do what he called you to do? I don't think so. And so God is for us. If we put our trust in him, he'll fight for us and help us to win the mental battles, the spiritual battles, the physical battles, the social battles. Does it seem like people just hate you for no reason? He will help you be healed in that area and be restored socially, even to family members. Amen. Don't make me have to amen my own preaching. Come on. Financially. Well, God doesn't care about the financial. Do you know if a person is not healthy financially, it affects them emotionally, mentally, spiritually, in every way. God wants you healthy financially so you're not in worry and fear. He'll help you get there. 2 Corinthians 20, verse 15. But you got to believe this. Jesus said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. And as I preach these scriptures, you're going to feel an anointing on some of them. You're going to feel a quicken. You're going to have this kind of thought, now I see. Man, that's right there. I see it. That is God putting faith in your heart. Believe it and act on it. 2 Corinthians 20, verse 15. I'm going to keep going till I get a scripture that talks to you. This is Jehoshaphat. Now, he's the king, and he's facing three great armies that come against him at the same time. There's no way they're going to win. It's impossible. So what does he do? He calls a prayer meeting. He asked everyone to fast. This is what the Lord says to you. As they begin to fast and pray, God spoke to them through a prophet. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Are you afraid and discouraged right now because of some news you've gotten? Or from some threat in your life? Are you all discouraged? This says, do not be afraid or discouraged. Why? Because God is for you. If God be for you, who can be against you? Put your faith in him. Cast off that doubt and unbelief. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, because of this big problem. For the battle is not yours, but God's. If I'm serving God, my battles is his battles. If you're serving God, living for God, your battles are his battles. He doesn't lose. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. He says, you've already won, but show up at the battle anyway. Go on down because you've already won. Verse 17, you will not have to fight in this battle. Take up your positions. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. You see, the battle belonged to the Lord, but they still had to show up for battle. You may know in your heart you've already won, but you got to show up. You see, when they arrived at the scene, they saw dead bodies everywhere. Those people had gotten mad at each other, gotten to fight, and killed each other. Thousands of them laying there dead. And all the Israelites had to do was carry off the stuff they left behind. They had all kind of camping equipment and horses and donkeys, gold and silver, and the Israelites, all they had to do, the only thing they had to do was carry it all back home. Okay. I thought y'all get excited about that. Okay, I'll keep trying. The battle belonged to the Lord, but they had to show up. When they arrived, all they found was dead bodies and a lot of valuable stuff. They had already won before they got there. You can win in prayer, meditate on the promises of God, win before you even get to the battle, before you even show up. You see, the Lord spoke to me years ago. A man, the board had launched into something, involved a bank and a lot of money. And it appeared that the bank was going to renege on us and looked like we could lose some serious money. And boy, I was really stressed out. We don't lose God's money. Can you say amen? So I was sitting in the back of my van and I was praying, oh God, what are we going to do? And the Lord spoke to me and he says, you do not have a problem that cannot be fixed in prayer. Say that with me. I do not have a problem that cannot be fixed in prayer. Say it again. I do not have a problem that cannot be fixed in prayer. Say, preacher, you got to be kidding. No, that's what he said to me. And I prayed that thing through. I knew I had the victory. But guess what? I had to go to the meeting with the bankers and everyone involved the next morning. So I showed up at the meeting, and the lawyers and the bankers and the real estate people, they worked it all out. I didn't have to say one word. God had already worked it all out. You can win, but you need to pray. You need to have these scriptures. You need to meditate on these scriptures instead of going into a panic and say, oh, I've lost already. No, meditate on the Word of God and get that in you so it becomes like I had. I had a no-so word from God. I was going to win, and I won. And I've lived my life that way. It really does work. You do not have a problem that cannot be fixed by the hand of God as you pray and seek his face. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 30. Look at this one. The Lord your God, which goeth before you. Do you believe God goes before you? Even if you're going down a dark alley in the middle of the night, you shouldn't be doing that unless you have to. But if you do, I believe and trust God to go before you and protect you. I've been caught in those situations trying to minister to people. And God always goes before and protects me. I'm still here. Still here, aren't I? Okay. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. This says, according to what he has already done. Remember what he has already done for you. It will build your faith so you can believe that he will do it again. And Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 22, you shall not fear them. For the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. Never be afraid. The champion is in your corner. Jesus Christ is in your corner. He has conquered hell and the grave. He's conquered the devil and every trick and trap. And while he has defeated him. And now he's on your side. And he will enable you to win every battle if you put your faith and trust in him. Second Chronicles chapter, and I'm just reading the Bible, is what he says. And I have believed it over the years, and it has worked. 2 Corinthians, I've got all kind of stories, but today I need to give you the scriptures. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 8, with him is an arm of flesh. This is their enemy. He's depending on his arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. He says, the enemy, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. He says we're going against some serious enemies, but all they got on their side is human flesh, human knowledge, human ability, human skill, but we have God. No matter what our problems are, our God will help us. My brother was ordered to go to Vietnam. Obviously, that was a long time ago. Yay. And, boy, I was just sick with worry. And I was praying, oh, God, protect my brother. And the Lord spoke to me. He says, I am in the storm. And I knew right there, he was going to take care of my brother. He was in Vietnam, I don't know for how long, I think 2 or 3 years. And there was a horrible storm that came through. He was caught in that. I think that storm did more harm at that time to our soldiers and our military people than the Viet Cong were doing. But my brother, he saw people blown up all around him, and he survived it all. Came back home. How many believe that God's in your storm? How many believe that if you're walking through the fire, he's in the fire with you? You want to find Jesus? Just look around when you're in the fire. He's there. Remember the three Hebrew children? Nebuchadnezzar said, these guys are rebelling against me. They won't bow to my idol. Throw them in the fire. So they threw them in the fire. And Nebuchadnezzar looked in. He says, how many men did y'all throw in there? They said, three. He said, I see four. Who was the fourth one? I believe it's Jesus Christ. If not, it was a powerful angel. Either way, they made it through the fire. You see, God has promised to fight. In this situation, he promised to fight for my brother, and he did. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. At my first defense, no one came to my support. This is St. Paul. And he's going against Alexander the coppersmith. He makes idols. And Paul was preaching against his idols. He's telling the people, don't worship those idols. Well, Alexander got really mad. He says, you're costing me business. You're costing me money. So he came against him. Big time. At my first defense, no one came to my support. But everyone deserted me. All these wonderful friends of Paul, associates, spirit-filled, on-fire Christians, they ran off and left him, standing by himself. Now, that'll happen to you. All these wonderful Christians, oh, they left me. They ran off and left me. I'm standing by myself. That's okay. Because then you'll know that the Lord's with you. Look at this. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. Verse 17, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. Read that with me. The Lord, one, two, three, go. The Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. Again, the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. What did he give him? Strength. What did he give him? Strength. A lot of times that's all we need to have victory is to have supernatural God-given strength. You see, I was delivered, he goes on to say, I was delivered from the lion's mouth. We don't know if he was really thrown to the lions or not. A lot of Christians were. But it may be he's just talking about the lion Alexander. But either way, he says, and I was delivered. And all I had standing with me was Jesus Christ. I'm telling you right now, that's all you need. Oh, sir, we need each other. God has designed the body the way it is. Yes, we need to be in church together. We need to pray for each other, support each other. But when it comes down right to it and no one is standing by you, you're still not alone. Jesus is with you no matter how lonely it may appear. The Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. I was delivered from the lion's mouth. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine. Remember David and Goliath? This giant was about 9 feet tall. He was a big warrior. He was highly trained. David was a kid. He was a shepherd boy taking care of sheep. And he had no training in battle. His own brothers laughed at him. Said, you're going to go against Goliath? Said, you're just a kid. You don't have a clue to what you're doing. But then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. He said, my weapon is not armor. My weapon is the name. How many know what the name is today? Jesus. When you speak the name of Jesus, Satan trembles and all of his demons tremble with him. Amen. Because they recognize the power in that name. Today we need to recognize the power in that name. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Whose army is it? Whose army? Whose battle is it? It's the Lord's. Verse 46, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I'll smite thee and take thine head from thee. Can you look at your enemy right now, visualize your enemy, and say, I'm going to win this. You're going to lose. And David was looking at this giant. Now, this was a really impossible situation. There's no way in the world this little shepherd boy could take this dude down. It was impossible. Why? Because he had armor from the top of his head to his toes. There's only one bare spot right in his forehead, right between his eyes. And David took on the armor of Saul. He said, I can't even walk in this stuff, man. I can't fight with this. So he took it off. Okay. And he picked up five rocks, and he had his sling. And he says, I'm not coming against you as a warrior. I'm coming against you as a servant of the living God. And I'm going to take you down. I'm going to take your head off. The kid didn't even have a knife on him. Boy, that's faith in God. And I want to tell you right now, you're going to face your Goliath. If you hadn't already, and you're not facing him right now, you will face him. And everybody run off and leave you, and you're going to have to stand there and make up your mind. His own brother's laughing at him. They knew they were going to go into a funeral, okay, their brother David. But it didn't turn out that way, did it? Because he said, I'm not coming against you with my skill and my ability. I'm coming against you with a name. The name of the Lord God of hosts. You've been out here defying his army. Now I'm going to take you down. Now, also, this guy not only was coated in armor, but he had a guy out front with a shield. And anything that David threw at him, that guy's going to knock it down. It's impossible. And buddy, I have faced many impossible situations over the years, me and my family members, and many people in this church. If I took a moment to have everybody come up, share, it'd take till 4 or 5 o'clock. Yay. Because our God is a miracle-working God. So David goes against him. He got his sling, put a rock in it, and he whirls that thing around and around and around, building up momentum. He turns that thing loose, and it becomes a smart rock. There's no other explanation. That rock went around that shield, found the only... Now, remember, he's just slinging this thing. And that rock went around that shield, found the only bare spot on Goliath's body, right between his eyes, and knocked him in the dirt. Evidently, that didn't kill him because David jumped on top of him. He said, I'm going to borrow you, I want to borrow your sword. Is that okay, Goliath? He took his sword and his own sword and cut his head off. Is your situation more, is it more impossible than that? Impossible is impossible. But God is more than able. We felt led, me and the church board felt led to build this big new addition onto the building. We already had that over there. And we were praying. The architect had it all designed, but we didn't have any money. We need about $2 million or more. And it was hopeless. And I'm just, well, I guess we just give up. But the board was more persistent than me. Let's believe God, preacher. Okay. A guy came from California on vacation, a billionaire. He sat in the back of the church over here. And he came up to me after church and he said, I was sitting back there and God healed my back. He said, I had a bad back and God healed my back. Just sitting back there. Nobody prayed for him. God just did it. And that man wound up giving us $1.6 million to build this. And then God helped us raise about another million. I don't say anything's impossible. God's got a way. You just need to pray until you hear from God. And know it's not just you, but it's God. And if God's given you a position in life, He wants to help you fulfill it until He moves you on to something else. But hear from God and know that Goliath is no problem. If you need $2 million and that God has called you to do it, you'll get it. Amen. So I'm not preaching something I've heard. I'm preaching something I know works. Verse 46, David said, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee." So David's confidence was totally in God, not his ability and his skills. "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord." You see, God wants to work a miracle for you so the whole world around you will know that it was God. It brings glory to God when they, people around you, see a miracle in your life. David had to fight, but God fought with him and granted him the victory. And Goliath lost his head. And I've had some situations where God just totally worked it out and I didn't have to fight. Like that deal we had going on with the bankers and the lawyers and the real estate people. I didn't have to fight at all. I just showed up and God worked it out. But sometimes you wind up in a fight and you fight till you win. You see, the battle is between God and Satan, but we are the Lord's military. We are His foot soldiers. Never forget it. Yes, He's God, but He needs you. He will not even allow the angels to preach the gospel. He will not even allow the angels to preach the gospel to your family members. Do you want your family members to go to heaven? Then you have to allow God to use you and other people, because that is all He's going to do, is use us in those situations. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, "For He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son." Don't look at all the evil, wicked people around you and think that you're better than they are, because you used to be there. I used to be there. Look, "For He rescued Barry Cumberson from the domain of darkness and transferred him to the kingdom of His beloved Son. He took him from a career being a criminal like some of his family members and being an alcoholic. He took Barry Cumberson from all of that and transferred him to the kingdom of His beloved Son. And if you're born again, He's done the same thing for you. And if you're not born again, you can be born again before you leave here today." Can y'all, somebody say amen. It's really embarrassing when I preach good and I have to say amen for myself. You see, there is a domain of darkness, but we have been rescued and transferred to the kingdom of the Son. And if we're in that state of existence, we need to thank God every day of our lives. Now we are in God's kingdom, which is at war with the devil's kingdom. We're at war because we're trying to get people set free from satanic slavery. We're trying to get people set free from the bondage of sin. And Satan hates that, and so he fights against us. We are the Lord's army. That's why bad things happen to God's people. A lot of times bad things happen, and we said, "Oh, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong?" Most of the time, you didn't do anything wrong. The devil just fed up with you trying to defeat him, and so he hit you. You see, when you're at war, you will take some hits. That's just all there is to it. But we have already won. Stanley Blair Davis, sitting here with that thing on her foot, she took a hard hit when she fell, but we're winning. She's already back on the platform, already leading singing again. And that fall could have killed her. I'm not going into any detail. It's a miracle. The devil didn't kill her right there. But God spared her, and He's raising her back up. When you're at war, you're going to have some hits. But it won't take you out. You can bounce right back. If you're on a mission for God, doing His work. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and of all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I give you authority over demons and devils, and over all of Satan's power, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. It may cause some pain. Stephanie suffered some pain, but what it means is he'll not be able to destroy you. The Lord will bring you back. The pages stuck together. I guess I used too much honey. I use a lot of honey. Sticky. The battle is the Lord's, but his warriors have the authority to destroy Satan's work and his demons through the name of Jesus Christ. A lot of people sitting back, well, what am I going to do? And when is God going to come through? And when's somebody going to help me? And God is saying, I've already given you the authority. Use it. Take authority over Satan. Say, Satan, you get your hands off of me. I rebuke your depression, oppression, fear, doubt, strife, anger. Get off of me. Get out of here in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I didn't make this up. Jesus said it. Well, I don't believe that. Well, he said a lot of things. Are you going to pick and choose what you believe? I believe everything he says as much as I can with his help. I give you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means destroy you. Believe it or not. Do you believe it or not? Sometimes when I'm preaching, I got great faith, but when I get hit on Monday morning or Tuesday morning, sometimes I have to go back and rebuild my faith by meditating on the Word. But we must believe the Word. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. So Jesus said to them, I say to you, if you have faith living as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, he's talking about a demon, you shall say to this demon. The disciples asked him, why could we not cast a demon out of this little boy? He says, if you have faith living as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, to this demon, move from here to there, and it'll move, and nothing will be impossible to you. It says, as a mustard seed. He says, well, if you just have a tiny speck of faith. Well, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How can you just have a small substance evidence? It's not talking about the size. It's talking about living faith. It's a substance. It's an evidence. It's an also revelation in you. And that is your faith. And it says, Jesus said, if you have that kind of faith, living faith, no so faith, you will say to this demon, move from here to yonder place, and it'll move, and nothing will be impossible to you. When we learn to use our authority and take authority over demons and devils and truly believe that we have that kind of authority, we can win the impossible battles that we face. Take your authority. The battle belongs to the Lord's, but we can be defeated if we do not follow his orders. He says, speak to the mountain. You see, if we want our mountain to move, we must speak to them. Our mountains to move, we must speak to them in the name of Jesus. Well, I just can't move a mountain. Well, just as long as you say that, you won't be able to move it. Speak to your mountains. Speak to your mountains. I could give you all kinds of stories, but we don't have time. You need the scriptures. And I've already proven my point long time ago with the Word of God. So why do you keep reading the scriptures? Because I'm trying to get the scripture that you need. The same scripture doesn't necessarily speak to everybody. Different scriptures speak to different people at different points of their need. If you have faith that's living, you can remove that demon, remove that mountain, remove that depression, oppression, remove that fear from your life, remove that attack of the devil on your family and your children, that spirit of infirmity and sickness. You can take authority over that thing. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Sometimes you're struggling with something and you think, well, my flesh is just weak. Sometimes it's not just your flesh. Sometimes it's the devil getting involved. He can make temptation be so strong and so powerful, it feels like you cannot defeat it. And so sometimes you're not in a struggle just with your flesh. You're in a struggle with the devil. If you have some kind of addiction, stronghold, have addiction to alcohol, drugs, illicit sex, tobacco, and any other kind of the stronghold. Yeah, you can defeat that thing by taking authority over it and driving it out in the name of Jesus. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Is this starting to make some sense? There's a reason we have all these problems and these attacks. There's something behind it. There's an evil force behind it. How many know there really is a dark side? There really is a dark side. And you have authority over him, and his name is Satan. You see, our enemy is not flesh and blood, but demons and devils. Well, I'm just having a real problem with these drugs. God can break that off of you. I'm having a real problem with these sexual addictions. God can break that. I'm having a real struggle with this spirit of infirmity. It just seems like I get sick and get well and get sick. It's just like I can never get victory. There's a spirit of infirmity there you can be delivered from. And that's mentioned clearly in the Bible. We must put on the full armor of God because we're involved in a war, in a fight like David. We take on God's armor. In a sense, he had on God's armor because he said, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. You see, we can't win without the armor. Well, what's the armor? And, of course, in our children, we go through it. You gird your loins about with truth. You take on the breastplate of righteousness. You shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. You study the Word of God. You get to know the Word of God. You build your faith by meditating on the Word. Then you take that faith, that shield of faith. You quench all the fiery darts. And then the helmet of salvation, what is that? It's knowing who you are. You tell the devil, I've been redeemed, devil. I've been redeemed from sin, sickness, disease, failure, poverty, inferiority. And you get your hands off of me and get out. And then the last one is the sword of the Spirit. What is that? It is written. That's what Jesus did. You see, he was not here just to work miracles. He was here also to show us how to live in victory. At the end of his 40 days of praying and fasting, Satan showed up. And he began to give him these temptations. And Jesus said, it is written. I'm not going to take time to go through it. It'll take too long. It is written three times. And then he said, Satan, be gone. And the devil left. How did he win? Through meditating on the Word of God, speaking the Word, quoting the Word. That's the way we win. The whole armor of God. Know the truth. And you're getting the truth about these things here today. If you want to know the truth of God's Word, this is a good place to be. Because this is all I do is preach the Word of God. My opinion is not worth anything. The Word of God will change your life. The Word of God changes the truth. You got to know the truth. You got to know you're righteous. You got to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You need to know the Word of God. You need to stand on your promises. That's your faith. You need to know who you are. Devil, I've been redeemed from you. You have no authority over me at all. It is written. Now get out of here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Listen, the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly. It's not of human flesh. It's not human effort. But mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Drugs, illicit sex, spirits of rebellion, infirmity, spirits of poverty, all those things are evil and demonic, and you can pull them down because you have authority to do so. You don't have to live in poverty. You don't have to live with a spirit of infirmity. And I'm just reading this. It's not debatable. It's what he says. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and reasonings. The King James says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Look at that a moment. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. For some of you right now, as I'm reading this, there's something in the back of your head that says, this is nuts. This is crazy. You don't have this kind of authority. That's that high thing that the devil is bringing against you to deceive you, to keep you from victory. Cast that thing down. I'm just reading it. That's what he says. Casting down arguments and reasonings, casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the truth. The devil always come to you with a lie. You got to make a choice. Am I going to believe what the book says, the Bible says, or am I going to believe this lie? Everybody has to make that choice. Casting down arguments and reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. As soon as you start praying for healing, the devil's going to start laughing at you, so that's ridiculous. You're not going to get healed. And you have to cast those negative thoughts down. If you don't, they'll win. Now, I didn't write this. This says to bring those thoughts captive. Don't allow them to stay in your head. Every time I preach, the devil's trying to tell, well, today you've been lucky so far, but today that strep throat's going to get you, that throat's going to go out, and you're not going to be able to preach today. He tells me that about every time I walk in the pulpit, because that throat thing has been such a problem my whole life. And I say, no, devil, you're a liar. Get out of here. I'm preaching today. And you can see I've been around about 100 years. It's still working. Still working. It'll work for you too. If it worked for somebody like me, it'll work for you, but you got to work it. If we rely solely on human wisdom, ability, and skill, we can fail. But like David, I depend on the name of the Lord. And like I said, I'm a lot better at believing in the pulpit. But during the week, I got to fight my own battles like you do. But I found out I can win. If we put on the whole armor of God, we can succeed. We can succeed no matter what we face. The key offensive weapons are the word, prayer, and fasting. Meditate upon God's word, pray, and fast. You see, if we rely completely on the Lord, we can win. So fight your battles in prayer until you receive his anointing. Do you receive his no-so revelation? Do you receive that evidence, that no-so in your heart? And when you get that no-so, that word, that promise, then stand on it. Never cast it away. Stand on it. The devil wants me to cast away Matthew 8, 16, and 17. Do you believe I'm still here to take your infirmities and your sicknesses? And sometimes he tries to push me to the limit. I say, devil, I am not casting that away. I know the Lord spoke to me. He said, do you believe I'm here to take your infirmities and your sicknesses? And I says, yes, Lord, I believe it. Devil, I still believe it. No matter how much trouble you give me over this, I will not give in. I'll not give up. I'll not cast it away. I'm standing. I'm standing. I'm standing. If I die standing, I'll die standing. So far, so good. Amen. God's doing it. Fight your battles in prayer. We got a 21 days of praying and fasting coming up in January. I'm asking everyone of you to get involved. Be here every night. Let's believe God to fix us from the inside out. Be a part of this. Well, I've never fasted a day in my life. Well, we'll show you how to do it if you want to do it. You can fast something. Can you say amen? First time I fasted one meal, I thought I was going to die. But I didn't know what I was doing. And I fasted like 40-day fast like 19 years in a row, pretty much in a row. 40 days. Well, that'd kill you. Well, do I look dead? No, don't answer that. But I'm not dead. Let me see. Ow. I mean, if we want God's power, we need to be a doer of the word. It says when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. Which one are you going to leave out? Now let's read one more scripture. This is one some of you have been waiting for. You just didn't know what it was. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Read that with me. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes me to triumph in Christ. Read again. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes me to triumph in Christ. Now, let's put the word win in there, which is the same meaning. Now, come on. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes me to win in Christ. I'm a winner. Say, I'm a winner. Say, I'm a winner. I was born to be a winner when I accepted Christ. I was born to have authority over demons and devils. I was born to walk in victory until the Lord takes me to heaven. Let's all stand.